The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, PeteEvans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it.
Kelly, thank you so much for joining us once again. This is our third round, I think. Third? Fourth?
Something like that. 80th, eighth lifetime, whatever.
Something like that. Keep coming back for the medicine.
I like to provoke, so you know what you're getting here.
And I just wanted to talk about something just quickly, because when we started connecting about 2 minutes ago, my volume was down and you said, share your voice with the world. And maybe we'll start with that, because that seems like something that you've definitely confronted. Was it a confrontation for you from an early age to speak out? Because I'll just put my little two cents in, or my big two cents, is that, have you heard of that saying? Is that an American saying, putting your two cents in?
Yeah, and it ends up being more like $25 usually when I'm offering.
Because I was brought up in a environment, and I remember as a child hearing either parents or grandparents saying little children should be seen and not heard. And it took me a whole adventure of life to confront that for me, because I was that shy kid that didn't speak, didn't want to be seen. Well, maybe not wanted to be seen, but thought that my place was hiding and in the shadows and in the back. And when I was 28, I was offered a job on television, and it was my biggest fear in the world. I was like, no fucking way am I doing that. And then I was offered again, and I'd done enough work to know that, oh, well, this seems like a path that I should pursue, even though I'm terrified of it. So I want to talk to you about that, about how you came to be such a vocalist in your identity.
I love that you chose that word too, because growing up, the persona that I was really nurturing throughout my adolescence and like early adulthood, I was like a big mouth, right? Like a smart ass big mouth. And so when I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis in 2010, low hanging fruit of spiritual interpretation is that it's like my fifth chakra, right? Like my throat chakra is like wanting my attention. And that was the initiatory rite of my awakening, right? So that's when my process began of speaking my truth, I guess, to the world in a way, because shortly thereafter, I developed like a public platform and I was, you know, sort of speaking all this truth to power about, you know, pharmaceutical medicine and what I had learned about the potential to put into remission these chronic recidivistic conditions that I only ever had been taught were permanent, like a part of your, like a fixture in your lifescape. And the truth is that my speaking of my own self into the world was like many, many rebirths still to come, right? Like, I guess it kind of started there, but really I was so focused on translating my message, right? Like an activist, right? Saving the world and translating my message to the people that my lived experience, it was almost like a distraction in ways, like publishing the books and all the things. My lived experience of taking up space in the world and speaking my truth wouldn't really come for several years after that. And I would say even the past 2 years is when I have really done that work. And I know I can only speak as a woman, but I know that for me to speak my boundaries and to speak my needs and even honestly preferences outside of the realm of controversy, right? So not needing to feel angry with somebody in order to say, that doesn't work for me. This doesn't work for me. I don't want that. It still is exquisitely challenging. And to ask for what I need, not from a place of entitlement, right? But from a place of simple expression is still challenging for me. And so even in the past 6 months, and that's why I love that you use the word vocal. It was Christmas Eve that I woke up and I spend holidays alone because I don't participate in holidays and my children choose to, and their dad does. And so I'm almost always alone on these like commercial holidays, which is my choice, right? And so I'm alone and I have the whole house to myself. And I just had this impulse to see what my voice would sound like if I sang really loud. And I've done like cathartic screaming and Osho dynamic meditation and stuff like that. But I was like, what does singing sound like if I do it really loud? And I'm not a singer. I don't identify as one. And I don't have any relationship to like music, instruments, nothing. And that began this journey that, I mean, I have literally 5 different vocal coaches now. And I have been on this like incredible journey reclaiming literally my voice, but my singing voice, almost like the embodiment of beauty in my voice, which is how I'm looking at it and thinking about it, and so many ways that singing and sound helps to liberate like these trapped energies in my bodily landscape. And so it's like this spiral path that just keeps unwinding in front of me, just when I think like, oh yeah, I'm confident with what I have to say. You know, I could deliver a spontaneous keynote to 2,000 people literally, and I wouldn't break a sweat. But to sing like a couple of notes in front of a stranger on a Zoom call, the first time I did it, I literally burst into tears. I don't know if it was shame tears or tenderness tears or pride for myself tears, or just like, I don't know, the anguish of in being an embodied human. Like, I don't know what it was, but you know, it's like always these new opportunities that, as I know you can relate, present themselves to come into more and more bold expression. And it's usually not in the ways that we're already good at, right? It's usually not in the ways that we're already used to. And the vulnerability that is the signature of taking up space in the world, speaking your truth, and coming into fuller, more dynamic expression, it's like, it's the toughest space to traffic in is that kind of vulnerability, I would say.
So going back to your Hashimoto's, you said it was the lowest hanging spiritual idea of if we have something going on in our throat, then that relates to vocal or throat energy, communication. Is it that simple, do you think, when our bodies give us these, I guess, what would you describe it? These awarenesses, opportunities, awareness in our body where something might be in pain or suffering or not working to its fullest, whether it be our hearts, whether it be our brains, whether it be our throats, whether it be our joints, whether it be our skin, whatever it may be, our eyes, our ears. Do you think it's that simple that we can take that part of the body, such as Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Body or whatever that book was called, which I read 30 years ago. I was like, well, that's pretty interesting stuff. Like, that makes sense. Is it that simple in one context for us to then focus our attention into that area and what that potentially means?
So I still love that book. I was just looking it up the other day, Louise Hay's book. And I choose to live in a meaningful and meaning saturated universe. So what that means is that nothing is random, nothing is bad luck, and everything can be plumbed for depth and profundity. Like literally every single thing, like every dish that breaks, you know, let alone something that my body is expressing. And I like to work with this phrase that symptoms are me telling me about me, right? So bringing to my awareness something in the depth of my being that would not otherwise be apparent to me because of the way that we fragment and the way that we compartmentalize into our shadow awareness that feels perilous and it feels dangerous to really embrace. And so the rubric that speaks to me the most these days in terms of, you know, what in the literature is called narrative medicine. It's actually a phrase, right? So it's like, what does your illness mean to you? What does it signify? What does it represent in the journey that is your becoming? So in narrative medicine, what I have found to be the most fulfilling framework is referred to as German new medicine, sometimes new German medicine. And I have an interesting karmic path even of being introduced to German new medicine through my first husband's mother. And then coming around, you know, years later, actually after she had passed, having this sort of like, I don't know, it's like a hit, I guess, in meditation, which is not something that occurs frequently for me. And I just got this like inner memo of like, go check her last email to you. And I went and checked it, and it was all about German new medicine, which at the time I had largely dismissed as like, and I'll explain what it is if you don't know or your listeners don't know, but like as an accessory to like actual interventions, right? And so if you're going to treat yourself for cancer holistically, you're going to do like, this is before I met Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, but you're going to do like high dose vitamin C and you're going to take all the things. And then, yeah, sure. You can address the emotional stuff. Well, the whole premise of German New Medicine, if I could, you know, attempt to summarize it, is that you have these psychic conflicts, like you perceive through the lens of your belief system, danger in the world and shock that befalls you, right? And your body has biological adaptations that make a lot of sense in response to what you're telling your body is going on in the world. And then the repair of the adaptation is actually when you have the symptoms. And so it's like, you know, of course, we blame the firefighters kind of a thing for the fire. This is very typical. But in this model, there's no such thing as contagion, infection, metastases. Like the relationship to microorganisms is as, you know, what are called saprophytes, which means that they come and clean up. The same with so-called antibodies, right? Like there isn't this like army inside of you fighting off the bad guys. It's just tags for, you know, repair and resourcing in the adaptation process and restabilization process. And all that is to say that like when you have a UTI, so to speak, like a urinary tract infection, right? There's one model that's like, oh, your immune system was weak, or maybe you caught a thing from a lover or whatever, and you didn't pee quickly enough after you had sex or whatever. And that framework, it's like really difficult to resist taking the antibiotic in that framework because you're like, oh God, like, is the oregano oil like really going to work? And in the German New Medicine framework, it's a territorial conflict, right? And actually the symptoms are happening, you know, your body's already repairing the problem. And so you just support your body in the repair and it's already underway. And what's interesting to look at is why did you experience a territorial.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information Views and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.